Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. Now, during the month of September, these programs have been brought to you by Good News Christian Ministries and by the generous support of the Upper Room Home Furnishings at 2670 Queensview Drive here in Ottawa. Thank you, Upper Room, for supporting this ministry. You can find their website by going to ours at www.goodnewsinthemorning.ca. You'll find a lot of good things at that website, including the ability to re-listen to this morning's program. This morning I want to talk to you about encountering a holy God. But before we get there, let's listen to Tom McCain and his song called Holiness in the album Closer to Home.
As I turn the pages of the story, I see myself somewhere between the lines. I'm somewhere between what you desire of me and these wicked, wicked ways of mine. While I walk the dusty roads of heartache, I don't know which way I should turn, and I cry, holiness. Every time I try to make it, I fall. Holiness, as I stand again and I face the wall of holiness. Lord, you know it's what I long for, I cry, holiness. My vision of this barren desert and my wandering from place to place. At every turn I seem to go in circles as the birds of prey draw circles in space. My spirit is dry and I don't know if I. When my soul thirsts for more of you, and I cry, holiness. Every time I try to make it, I fall, holiness. As I stand again and I face the wall of holiness, Lord, you know it's what I long for, I cry,
It wasn't the first time that Isaiah heard from God. Chapters 1 through 5 in the book of Isaiah are filled with the words of God delivered to Isaiah for the people. But today was different. I can imagine Isaiah up on top of a flat roof of his house. That is where many prophets in Israel seem to go to pray. Isaiah trudges up the stairs to spend time with God. That's what prophets do. Today was a day like any other day, until it wasn't. God didn't make an appointment, send a parchment, or dispatch a carrier pigeon. But on this day, God showed up like he never had before. All of a sudden, Isaiah says in Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord, seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah encountered a holy God, and that glimpse of the throne room of God changed him. It transformed him. It wrecked him for the ordinary. Now, over my years as a Christian, I have never been transported into the heavenly realm. Now, there's a long history of that happening to some people. It happened to Isaiah. It happened to Paul. It happened to the Apostle John. In fact, John saw something very much like Isaiah did in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's never happened to me. But there have been times when I have been in the presence of God. I remember one time in the early 90s, I was over in Lansdowne Park, and some speaker was speaking, and in the worship and in the sermon, it was as if the presence of God was palpable. It was as if the Spirit of God was washing over that place in waves. God spoke into the core of who I was, and it changed how I thought about me. God spoke into some of the things in my heart, and in those moments, regrets over the past were released. A call for the future was solidified. I encountered God. There are a lot of you who know what I mean. There have been times when you have been at church or at conferences or at camp or maybe all by yourself, but you encountered a holy God and it changed you in some way. There's some of you who have no clue what I'm talking about. You say, I wonder if that'll ever happen to me. It will if you continue to seek him. Not an experience with him, but to seek to know God himself. God will show up when the time is right. His promise is that those who seek me will find me if they seek me with their whole heart. Now, when I've encountered God in the past, it amazes me the clarity that comes into my life. The temptations that I am prone to no longer have any draw. The decisions that I have to make all of a sudden seem makeable, at least for a while. There's something about an experience like this that doesn't last. In fact, a week later, you can be asking yourself, did that really happen? That is just a reminder that we're not in heaven yet. But here's what I found. When we encounter God, it has a way of teaching us about the nature of God. When we know the nature of God, or to put it another way, when we get a sense of who God is, it gives us a sense of who we are to be. It causes us to know the one in whose image we are created. It causes us to know who we are called to reflect. And when that happens, good things happen. Or to put it another way, when you know the God who is holy, it will move you towards the life you were meant to live. Let me say that again. When you know the God who is holy, it will move you towards the life you were meant to live. Now, of all the attributes of God, God's love, his justice, his goodness, his mercy, his faithfulness, his power, his wisdom, his knowledge, of all the attributes of God, God's holiness is mentioned more than anything else in the Bible. I think, however, that one of the major coups of Satan's is that he and his legion have accomplished over the years is to paint the holiness of God as something austere and fearsome and remote. The God who is holy is not someone you really want to cozy up to. I've also noticed over the years that the topic of holiness is generally difficult for people. As a speaker, I know that topics like worry and busyness and forgiveness and love are going to resonate with people. But I've also noticed that it is pretty difficult to connect with people when the topic is holiness. See, people's walls come up. Their confusion becomes evident. There's that, that's nice for you, pastor, smile that comes out. And I get it on some level. We have reasoned that the way not to come across as holier than thou is not to be holy. Score one for Satan and his team. We sense that the holiness is something for super Christians, but not for the ordinary follower of Christ. Score another one for Satan and his team. We think that holiness will make us a one-dimensional person. It's a hat trick for Satan and his team. Combine those attitudes with confusing preaching on holiness, and it's no wonder that walls come up and confusion overshadows the whole topic of holiness. So I want you to come with me with an open mind to what Isaiah was seeing and hearing. He was seeing God in holiness. He was seeing God lifted up. Now, if you could imagine a sea of unending goodness, where the justice of God and the mercy of God live in perfect harmony, where the wrath of God lives in perfection with the love of God, all reconciled in Jesus Christ. If you could imagine the ocean of faithfulness and compassion and kindness and power, and if you could swim in this ocean, you would move into a sense of well-being so strong and so true to who you were made to be that it would blow you away. This ocean is the ocean of God's holiness. It is where all of who God is combined in perfection. And it is what makes heaven, heaven. If you could imagine your best day on earth and multiply the goodness of that day by 100, then you can just start to imagine an ordinary day in heaven, brought to you by the holiness of God. Words fail me, but holiness is about being fully alive, because there is no sin to bring death. God is overflowing with life, and his life brings life to everything else, and this flows out of his holiness. When your soul is as it should be, when your heart is prospering, when you are experiencing real grace, that comes out of his holiness. So I want us to reflect on that vision of Isaiah by listening to Dallas Holmes in his album, The Early Years, in the song called I Saw the Lord.
The place was white as snow, and pure as finest gold. It had the look of new, it had the look of old. I felt like I was home, but felt so far away. In fear I thought to leave, but felt the urge to stay. Then a silence fell, like none I'd ever known. I stood among the millions, I stood there all alone. His face was like the sun, his eyes were like the sea. His voice was like the thunder rolling through eternity. Then from sleep awaking, I looked into the night. The darkness overtaken by a bright and shining light. Oh, I couldn't understand it, I couldn't reason how. Then my eyes beheld it, I wasn't dreaming.
So Isaiah is transported into the heavenly realm, and he sees the Lord, and he hears the angels encircling the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Now here's what verse 5 says. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." If the holiness of God is so good, why does Isaiah feel so bad? Remember, as far as we can tell, Isaiah was a pretty good guy. He had heard the Lord on a number of occasions. He had been walking with God for the better part of his life. And now what he is saying is, when he comes into contact with God, is, "I'm ruined." If you were an okay cellist, but were asked to play with Yo-Yo Ma, you would probably feel somewhat insecure. Think about a time when you felt out of your league. Maybe you were meeting with someone who was a star or a dignitary. Maybe you were asked to speak in a place that felt out of your depth. Or maybe you went to a gathering where everyone was dressed in gowns and tuxedos and you showed up in a t-shirt. Multiply that by 1,000 and you will have a sense of what Isaiah felt. He who was good knew that his goodness and his righteousness were as filthy rags. In fact, in comparison to God, he felt like he was the vilest of sinners. As a prophet, he would have been considered wise, but now he had just encountered the God of wisdom, and he knew that he had nothing to offer. In fact, on his best day, with his best thought, it was like nothingness. And if you were to stand in the presence of God, you would feel the exact same way. If you were to know God in all his fullness, it would ruin you. See, repentance comes easy in the presence of God. It is the natural response. Confession of sin comes easy in the presence of God. It is the natural response. Even if you are living a good life and people think you're pretty good, in the presence of God, what looks good to people, you can see for what it really is. And the only response is repentance. But look at God's response. He sent one of the angels in verse 6. "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for.'" It reminds me of 1 John chapter 2. It says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our defense, Jesus Christ the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but for the sin of the whole world." When Jesus applied the work of the cross to our lives, it was as if he touched our hearts with that coal. Our sins were atoned for. That is why the writers of Hebrews says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of our need." It is not because we are somehow better than Isaiah. It is because Jesus died for us, and our hearts have been touched by a coal, as if it were. Or to use the New Testament metaphor, our hearts were cleansed and sprinkled by Jesus' blood. Our sins are atoned for. In all of this, look at the heart of God. He wants you to swim in the ocean of his holiness. He didn't bring Isaiah into his presence to make him feel bad. He brought him into his presence to make him better. He touched his lip with a live coal, and it made it so Isaiah could be in the throne room like the angels. He didn't come as an equal, but he could stand to be in the presence of God. Isaiah was transformed. Why does this matter? Well, remember what we said at the start. When you know the God who is holy, it will move you towards the life you were meant to live. Isaiah was made into the man he was meant to be. Isaiah 6, verse 8 says, "Then I heard the Lord, the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Now, it's not an accident that Isaiah was transformed into the presence of a holy God. And then right on the heels of that, he was commissioned. Or maybe recommissioned might be the better word. Remember that Isaiah was already a prophet. He had already heard the word of the Lord and proclaimed the word of the Lord. And he wrote the word of the Lord down in the first 5 chapters of his book. But now God is asking, "Who am I going to send?" And Isaiah sticks up his hand, says, I'll go. Because when Isaiah encountered a holy God, it made him into truly what he was made to be. And when he heard the job description, he says, "That's me. That's what I was created to do." Some of you were created to be leaders. Some of you were created to be artists. Some of you were created to be teachers. Some of you were created with gifts of making money and giving money. Some of you were created to be nurturers or healers or culture makers or managers or stewards. Some of you were made to be laborers and builders and mechanics and fixers. Whatever you were created to be, when you encounter the God who is holy, it will move you towards the life you were meant to live. If you want to be fully alive, fully you, you need to encounter the God who is holy. See, holiness matters. Now, on some level, we encounter the God who is holy whenever we go to him in prayer. We encounter the God who is holy whenever we open up his word. We encounter the God who is holy whenever we open our eyes to see that the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. But in some ways, those things are ordinary. But remember Isaiah? It was an ordinary day until it wasn't. Here's what I found. I cannot conjure up an encounter with a holy God. But what I can do, I can put myself in a place where it is more likely to happen. It is more likely to happen, and I'm more likely to encounter a holy God if I am amongst the people of God worshiping than if I'm not thinking about worship. It's more likely to happen when I am making space for God in my life and engaging in the spiritual disciplines than when I am not making space for God. Encountering a holy God is more likely to happen when my life is faced towards God and I'm than when I'm edging away from God. And when you encounter the God who is holy, it will move you towards the life you were meant to live. My question to you is, will you put yourself in a place where you are more likely to encounter the God who is holy? Will you put yourself in a place where you're more likely to meet with God? That may be attending a church. That may be finding some time to quiet your heart. That may be taking a walk through the woods. That may be spending some time with some friends of yours in prayer. That may be opening up the scriptures and letting it seep into your life and so that you, God has some tools to speak to you. Put yourself in a place where you can encounter a holy God, because when you do, it makes an incredible difference. When you encounter a holy God, God has a way of taking you and taking your heart and cleansing it and purifying it and allowing you to be who you were created to be. See, God knows who you are. God knows how he made you. God sees your talents. He sees what maybe even you have covered up. And his plan is to release you. His plan is to uncover all the good things in you and allow those things to flourish. His plan is to allow you to grow. My question is, will you put yourself in a place where you are more likely to encounter a holy God? Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you would grant people to put themselves in a place to encounter you. Lord, for some who have never received you into their hearts, I pray that even now they would open up their heart and say, Jesus, come into my life. I need to encounter God because unless I do, I won't be who I'm created to be. Lord, there's others who have made that decision to invite you into their life, but who they are has been covered up by so many different things. Lord, I'm asking that you would help them to go to a place that they would encounter you. Lord, lead them, whether it be to a church or to an open field, whether it be to a quiet time or to a worship concert. Lord, but lead them to a place where they encounter you. And Lord, I ask as your spirit blows over them that you would make them into what they are truly meant to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, and keep up your words of encouragement and keep us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith, and we really appreciate the help that you give. It allows us to continue. As you probably know, the summer months are a financial struggle, and they have been for us. If you can help with that, please make your check payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. If you go to that website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, you can follow us on Twitter or on our blog. You can also sign up for Alan Churchill's monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insights and the ability to communicate the truth of God. If you would like to receive this devotional, go to our website at goodnewsinthemorning.ca and sign up, and it'll come right to your email box. Well, it has been a pleasure spending this morning with you. My name is Brent Russett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brent Russett, B-R-E-N-T-R-U-S-S-E-T-T. And once again, I would like to express our thanks to the Upper Room Home Furnishings, 2670 Queensview Drive in Ottawa. They sponsored today's program, and they have made a difference. Now, my prayer for you is, may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. Let's go out from here listening to Randy Travis sing Turn Your Radio on his album Worship and Faith.
Listen into a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on, turn your radio on. If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that his love can bring, turn your radio on, turn your radio on. Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on and glory share. Turn your lights down low and listen to the master radio. Get in touch with God and turn your radio on. Everybody is a radio receiver. All you gotta do is listen for the call. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. If you're listening, you'll be a believer, leaning on the truth that'll never fall. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on. And glory share. Turn your lights down low and listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on and glory share. Turn your lights down low and listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your lights down low and listen to the master's radio.
Turn your lights down low and listen to the master's radio.
Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.